So just a few more verses from John chapter 20. Picking up from verse 19 and on the Bible that I have here, this is on page 766. So on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." With that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Well, this is a wonderful day, a wonderful Sunday. This is so brilliant and vital for us. One of the things that we did when we were in this building this morning, so the Heavenly Sunday morning gathering, I think there might there be an issue with my... Mine is fine. Okay, that's great. I'll carry on. The problem's not with me, which is unusual, actually. So I'm really encouraged by that. This morning, we did this call and response. It is well known in Eastern Orthodox churches, but now taken up by different traditions of the church the world over. The person who's leading says, "Christ is risen." And then the response, joyful and enthusiastic, "He is risen indeed. Hallelujah." So let's just do that together. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. One more time. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
So exciting, isn't it? It's just amazing to celebrate this and to see the difference that Jesus makes. And in this short message this evening, just want to focus on these verses, which are some of my favourite verses in the whole of Scripture, and to see especially the difference that Jesus makes. You have this room with the locked door, and it's a place of fear and confinement. And yet when Jesus comes, everything is changed. So the same room, it's still locked, it's the same people who are there, but with the presence of the risen Jesus, fear turns to faith and peace and joy. And this room that was the place of confinement is now the place of sending. They are filled and equipped and then sent out with the gospel of forgiveness. And the only thing that has changed is that Jesus is there in his risen presence, in his risen power. It's the same people, it's the same room, it's the same wider context, and yet Jesus has made all the difference. It's a huge encouragement to us to pray, isn't it? We can struggle and we can strive and we can do all sorts of stuff for the kingdom. And God wants us to engage. God wants us to be active. But without Jesus, we may as well be behind a locked door. But with Jesus, the door swings wide open and we can engage in mission and ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit. I did say that this was going to be short. There are five things. I will go through them in short order here so that we have plenty of time to pray and to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. So five ways that Jesus makes a difference. And first of all, we see that he kindles faith. The disciples are so afraid and the doors are locked. And then Jesus in his resurrection body is there. He says, "Peace be with you." And their fear turns to joy. They see and they believe. And it's absolutely wonderful. And today, Jesus kindles or rekindles the fire of faith in us. And we want to say that we believe. The great Easter hymn, "Thine be the glory," has the lines in it: "No more we doubt thee, glorious Prince of life." That sounds great, doesn't it? We don't want to doubt. We don't want to hold back. This message is so glorious, so wonderful, so transformative. As we recognize it, its power, we want to be all in with this. But is it really true? Sometimes, even on a day like today, we can have doubts, and God wants to encourage us to push through those and have full faith in Jesus and full faith in his resurrection. And there's not just a challenge, but there's also an encouragement. If you just look on from the verses that I read to verse 29, been thinking about this so much over Easter and in the run-up to Easter. Thomas is here in another appearance of Jesus, so it's a week later. He wasn't there the first time. He has said to the other disciples, "I'm absolutely not going to believe." In his words to them, there is a double negative that doesn't work in English. It's bad grammar, but it works in Greek, and it emphasizes that he is absolutely certain that he's not going to believe. Not only does he doubt, he disbelieves. And Jesus graciously appears to him. And Thomas makes this wonderful confession, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus says this amazing thing, verse 29. "You believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who have believed and who have not seen." All of Scripture speaks to us personally. Through every word, God speaks to our hearts today. But here there is a word of Scripture that is so immediate and so personal to us. It just sort of jumps out. Because Jesus is not speaking to the first disciples and through his words to them, to us. He essentially is speaking over their heads. This isn't for Thomas. This isn't for Peter. This isn't for John. They have seen and they have believed. This is for those who would follow later, who have believed without seeing. And Jesus says, if this is you, if you have faith without having seen the physical evidence that I'm alive, then you have a special blessing, a reward of grace that isn't even there for the first disciples, for the apostles. We think of them as being so privileged, and indeed they were. What must it have been like to walk with Jesus, to talk with Jesus? What must it have been like to be there on resurrection morning and to look into the tomb and see the strips of linen lying there? What must it have been like to be here behind the locked doors and to know Jesus' transforming physical presence? Extraordinary. They are privileged indeed. But we are privileged too. And here in verse 29, God says, Jesus says, we are privileged in a way that these first disciples were not privileged. I want to encourage us to lay hold of these words and to pray that God works in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit and just impresses them to us so that their flame of faith, maybe it's been flickering, but it just bursts into flame again. That flame of faith that's been burning brightly, it's now burning more intensely as we believe with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength. Jesus kindles faith. This is the difference that Jesus makes. More quickly now, Jesus brings peace. He brings shalom. He brings wholeness. This traditional Easter greeting that in the language and the discourse of the day, in many ways, just meant good day, or it's good to see you. It was on everybody's lips. But here with the risen Jesus, it's invested in new meaning. And Jesus conveys a peace, a wholeness, such as the world has never known. Peace with God, peace with one another, and peace within. If you know uncertainty, and if you know turbulent times, God in his grace and mercy breathes his peace into you today. Third thing, Jesus sends his Holy Spirit. He breathes on them, very unusual, and says, receive the Holy Spirit. An acted parable as what was going to happen on the day of Pentecost. And the idea of breathing, that sense of breath and wind, which is closely associated with the Holy Spirit in the scriptures. The picture on the screen is of a great storm. You might think that it is somewhere in the heart of the Pacific or the Atlantic or around the Horn of Africa or somewhere like that. It's actually a ship that's coming out of New Haven in East Sussex. So the great storms that we've had recently produce high waves, and we see the power of the wind. As powerful as the wind is, far more powerful is God the Holy Spirit, the wind that blows into our hearts, through our churches, in our communities. God is working and active. He has poured out his Holy Spirit on his church. For all who believe, we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts and are called to be filled daily. This is power. This is the presence of God with us by the Spirit. Another amazing difference that Jesus makes. He brings forgiveness to us. These challenging words about proclaiming forgiveness. The way that it is written, the way that the tenses are, the forgiveness that the apostles are giving is passive. And it's clear that they only forgive on the basis of the gospel. It's clear throughout the Gospels that only God can forgive, and Jesus makes that clear himself. But we are called to join with God in his gospel work. And on the basis of the gospel, on the basis of Jesus who came and who died and who rose again and who lives forevermore and offers forgiveness to all who turn to him, we can proclaim that gospel of forgiveness. And for those who believe and receive, we can say, you are forgiven. Not because of special power that we have, but because God is at work in us, sharing the gospel with others and helping people to receive this wonderful, wonderful forgiveness. First of all, we need to receive it ourselves and to live in the light of this. And then we need to share that forgiveness with others. I want to encourage us to live as forgiven people. It strikes me pastorally again and again. And it strikes me when I look inside my own heart how often there can be unforgiveness that is there sometimes just below the surface, that festers, that takes up residence in our hearts and our minds, and it skews the way that we live. And God has forgiven us our sin and our guilt and our shame. And as he pours that love and forgiveness into our lives, he wants to free us from our own unforgiveness of others. If we fail to forgive, the only people at the end of the day we are messing up is ourselves. If our hearts are screwed up, if our hearts are hard, if our hearts are bitter, we are not being people who commend the gospel of forgiveness. We have received God's forgiveness. We need to forgive others and so be set free from bitterness. And then we need to share the gospel of forgiveness with others. The very final thing is that Jesus sends us out on mission. As the Father has sent me, Jesus says, I am sending you. Again, the tenses are so important. Jesus is still sent into the world. His mission has not ended, and his mission continues by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are not called to generate a mission of our own. We don't have to initiate mission, for God, our missionary God, is already at work. Theologians talk about the Missio Dei in Latin, the mission of God. And we are called to join in with that. God is a missionary God. He is working by the power of the Holy Spirit in our homes, in our families, in our places of work, in our communities, and we are to see what God is doing and get on board with that. And rather than being a rather technical theological discussion, this is actually liberating and wonderful for us. Again, it's the difference that Jesus makes. Again, it sets us free because we are released to go into the hard places, freed from fear and confident that Jesus, who has conquered death, will be present and working. He is Lord of all. Thomas's confession, my Lord and my God, is a confession that all are called to make. And Jesus is rightful Lord of everywhere. Your family, your home, your place of work, your street, your community, the streets that surround this building, the streets that surround the building in Crag, the streets that surround the Copper Beach Hub. Jesus is Lord is a banner that should be written over all of it. And people do not acknowledge that Jesus is their rightful Lord, but God is on their case. Jesus loves them. The Holy Spirit is active. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Jesus is still sent. Jesus is still working. He is Lord of all, and he sends us out to call people to pay attention to all that he is and all that he is doing and all that he wants to do in their lives. The glorious gospel of forgiveness, the wonderful message of the kingdom of God. God wants to work in power, not only in your life, in mine, but in the lives of many, many people. This is the difference that Jesus makes, a difference to you and me, and a difference right across the world to all who will turn to him. The resurrection changes everything. We are privileged to be on the victory side. And so let's be hallelujah resurrection people. Let's be people who live and proclaim the message of the risen Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit.